All right. Well, welcome back. That was a
fantastic
little overview on Lisp that we saw. Just in case you're just joining us, this is Introduction to Programming using Python. That is Susan Ibach, DPE out of Ottawa, Canada. I am Christopher Harrison, content developer, now out of Seattle, Washington.
That's right.
Which seems a little odd to say, but
I was just looking at the Q&A, some of the questions we had coming out of that last module, and we were talking about how we can process and work with lists.
Yep.
And one of the questions that actually came out was, I literally had the question, how could I save that list to a file?
That's a great question, but you know what? Not going to answer it.
Okay.
Well, at least not yet.
Not until you get a couple more slides into the module. All right.
Well, the other thing I want to do before we get into that, because we will do it, is I do want to highlight GitHub real quick.
Oh, yeah. We've been getting a lot of questions about where do I go to we've got all the demos we're doing. We're saving them so you can access them. All the challenges we're giving you, the solutions to the challenges are all available for you to access at any time. Even just a quick list of all the challenges. If you want to go back to it later and you don't have to open every single slide deck, we have those in a nice little document for you.
Yep.
So, Christopher, if you could show everybody again where you access that and how you access those files, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely. So what you're going to notice here is I've got up here on Notepad, and Susan will put this into the
Doing
Q&A
it right now.
As well, is there's the link to our GitHub to download all the sample files that we've been playing around with and all of the different slides and so forth and so on, just as Susan mentioned. Now, one real quick thing that I do want to highlight is the reason that we chose GitHub to share all of this out is because Python has a fantastic open source community around it. And I would say, you know, the vast majority of the time, or at least quite often, vast majority might not be right, people use GitHub to take whatever it is they're building and share that out with people. So if you haven't already played around with GitHub, it's probably not something you're going to start doing today or tomorrow if you're brand new to coding, but it is certainly something that you're going to be coming across in the not-too-distant future. So we decided, well, let's kind of go with everybody else, and let's go ahead and put this out onto onto GitHub. Now, there's a lot of tools that you can use with GitHub. Visual Studio will actually work with GitHub. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that we have an MVA on using Git with Visual Studio. The reason that I highlight using Git with Visual Studio is because that's actually the name.
GitHub is the site, hub for working with Git.
Exactly. There you have it. So there's a lot of tools you can use Visual Studio. The big thing that I want to highlight is if you don't want to monkey around with any of those different tools or anything like that, what you can do instead is down here at the very bottom, you're going to notice there's a link that says download zip. And if you just click on that, it will zip everything up, download it, and you can have it all in one shot. So easiest way to go in and do that is just to simply click on download zip file, and away you go from there.
Christopher just getting in trouble because you're not supposed to be in the studio with your phone turned on. So Christopher quietly going, I'm sorry, that was me. All right. Moving
Christopher
on.
Christopher is now turning all sorts of shades of red. That's a pretty good shade of red
that
there.
That is a pretty good shade of red. Why don't we go back to the slides, Christopher?
Yeah, let's do that. Subject change. Yeah, so slides. Okay, but in any event, yeah, you can go to GitHub and access everything that we've been working on. All right. So, keeping with our real-world analogy there, have you ever needed to jot something down and remember it later on? So, you know, things like list of ingredients to buy for a recipe, that guest list, although Susan's going to throw me right off of it, a phone number. You need to be able to jot things down, and just like you do in real life, that holds true in digital form as well, that we do need to be able to store files. So, you know, for example, if you are putting together an ebook reader, where's the user along that? If you are doing a game, you know, figuring out where you are inside of a game. I
hate games that don't remember my level, so I have to redo everything all over again after I get somewhere. It drives me nuts.
Exactly. The one in particular that I remember when I upgraded to the Lumia 920 at the time, was I had gotten into a particular game that involves birds and things blowing up. What drove me crazy was that I had gotten pretty far into it, and then I upgraded to a brand new phone, and I had to start all over again. You know? So write those things out, and better yet, write it out to the cloud, but write those things out so that way when somebody opens up the application again, they can pick up where they left off, and they're going to be much happier with their experience. So let's then talk about how to work with and write files. Now, question is, how do we then go in and make some note and write that out to the file? I love that little picture
yep.
you've got
well,
there.
Well, that's what it is. Yep. It's, you yep. know, that's how I think yep. of files. It's yep. writing it down so I can find it later.
Exactly. Exactly. So how do we write out to a file with code? Well, it's relatively straightforward, of course, once you know the syntax, that you'll notice that if I want to write out to a file, the first thing that I need to do is open that up. And in fact, let me kind of kick back to the slide, and I'm going to beat this analogy into the ground, is that look at this like a notebook. So the thing about a notebook is typically it's going to have some form of a cover on it. Mm-hmm. So if I want to write onto it, the first thing that I need to do is flip that cover back. That way now I've actually got paper that I could write onto.
Open the notebook.
Exactly.
I like
it. I need to open it. And by golly, wouldn't you know, there's an open function.
I do, you know, this is much better than yesterday when we were learning how to handle dates and the function names were things like strptime and strftime.
The
good news is when you're working files, guess what? They're called things like open. Read, and take a wild guess at what the one we use for writing is called. You'll be shocked, I'm sure. But anyway, go on, Christopher.
Yeah, it's, we'll have to
But first we have to open the file.
Yeah, let's open it. So what you're going to notice right here is, sure enough, it's simply open, specify the name of the file, specify the, access mode.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll have to explain what access mode is.
Yep, exactly. So you have to give us a file name, you have to specify an access mode, and away you go from there. Now, one of the things that I always like to kind of mention here is a lot of times, and things like access mode is sort of a perfect example of this, a lot of times parameters might have default values. So kind of going back to something we talked about in the last module, sort. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Susan mentioned was that you just simply call sort, paren, paren, and away you go from there. And what it will do is it will sort alphabetically or from, you know, A to Z or A to Z. There you
mm-hmm.
go.
I
gave you an A to Z.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep,
nice nod to us Canadians.
But you would also notice that there is a parameter that you could pass in called reverse that would allow you to go ahead and reverse the sort order so that way you can go Z to A or Z to A, I suppose, depending on where you're from. Now, if you leave it off, it's going to go with the default. And sometimes the defaults are going to be obvious. So in the case of sort, the most obvious is going to be A to Z. Fantastic. Well, there are also going to be times when the default isn't necessarily obvious. And if the default isn't necessarily obvious, my general rule of thumb is don't depend on it if I care about it at all. So if I truly don't care, and there are times when I truly don't care, then I'm not going to worry about specifying that default value. But if I do care, and quite frequently I will, then I will always specify a value. So when it comes to things like access mode, you know, I want to be careful about how I open up that file. So if I know that I'm only going to read from it, I don't want to open it up and allow for writing, because that could allow for some form of a security issue going on or going forward. So you should always specify that that access mode. Just get into that habit right away.
Yep.
Now let's start off with that file name. What is the file name? This is, of course, wherever it is that you're going to be outputting it to, including the extension. So if you want it to be CSV, specify CSV. If you want it to be a text file, specify .txt. Now, if you just specify the name of the file and you don't specify the full path, then by default, the file is going to be created in the same folder as your program. And generally speaking, that's perfect, because what's nice about creating it inside of the same folder, especially if that's like, you know, settings, you know, something where the user wouldn't necessarily open that up, or the only way to open it up is if they use your program, the nice part about putting it in that exact same folder is if they drag and drop it somewhere else, they'll have everything that they need right there. So that is kind of nice. The one little tricky part, however, is what happens if we're testing this inside of Visual Studio? Where's that default folder? Well, as it turns out, there is the default with Visual Studio. But what gets a little bit tricky here is that that's only the default if you're not, if you haven't gone in and modified anything, if you're maybe not using source control.
Okay.
And so, like in our case, we're using GitHub for all of our files. And as a result, Visual Studio is actually putting this in a different location. It's putting it into C:\users, whack our username, whack source, whack repos, whack, and then the name of the project.
Yep.
You know, so where it is can be a little bit tricky. Fortunately, Visual Studio makes it relatively easy for you to figure out exactly where to go find it. So you'll notice that you can right-click on any file that you might want and then just simply choose Open Containing Folder, and that will take you exactly to that folder. So a very easy way that you could go in and do that. So the first part is the file name, and the file name is probably the most obvious, because if I'm going to open up a file, I need to know what the name is. Everybody's going to go along with that one, not a whole lot of explanation that's required. Well, what about the access mode? Well, the access mode is going to indicate how it is that you want to open up that file. Do you only want to be able to read? Do you only want to be able to write? Or as it puts it right here, what are you going to do with this thing after you open it? That's what the access mode is all about. And what you're going to notice is that there's four basic access modes that are available. You've got read from the file,
mm-hmm.
so that will, of course, be read. You've got write to the file, which is going to put it into the file from the very top, so overwrite that file.
Yep.
And you also have append. And the main difference between these two, between write and append, is write is going to overwrite that file.
Yep.
So if this is, I'm just going to write out all the information all over again, I'm going to use write. Append will put it at the end. And append is perfect for things like log files. You know, that one of the things, you know, people are frequently asked, well, what can we use Python for? You can really use it for anything that you might want. And if you're using it for, say, an automation script, or if you're using it for a website, or, you know, maybe when we get into error handling later today, one of the things that you might want to do is just create a log file that says, well, every time that an error occurs, we'll just write it out to the end of this, and then later on I could open that back up and see what went wrong with it. Append is absolutely perfect for that. As a best practice, only open to the level that you need. So if you don't need to write to the file, just use read. And that's going to avoid any potential security issues or otherwise. So, you know, only open to the mode that you need. So in our case, since we're going to be looking to write, it's going to be W. And how does it all look when we put it together? It looks a little bit like this. So Susan kind of put all of this together, mm-hmm. put the slides together. You'll notice file name equals and guest mode or access mode equals.
Yep.
And then you'll notice that we've got open. Let's open up Visual Studio and actually see it. Yeah.
More interesting.
Okay, exactly. Where is my Visual Studio? Okay, so file new project. I knew I could do it.
You got it. I know it's getting close to meal break and getting, you know, a little bit low on sugar.
Okay, so this is module 11, and this is going to be writing files. Beautiful. Okay. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to just simply say file name equals, and I'm very creative with my names.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to call your file? Oh, demo.txt. I like it. Okay.
Very creative. And then I'm going to say access mode equals, and we'll go with W for write.
Okay, now there's a couple of questions coming up in the window, which you're going to answer through this demo, but I just want to sort of highlight it so people who ask the questions can watch what's happening. One of the questions was, hey, if you say write and the file doesn't exist, does it create the file or what happens? So we're actually going to check that out right now.
Yeah, we're going to do that here momentarily.
And then I'll give you the other scenarios. Maybe you could sort of try those out for everybody.
And I'm going to drink some water.
All right.
Okay. Now, in fact, here, let me kind of do this real quick. I'm going to right-click and do that open containing folder, that little trick. And what you're going to notice here is that it doesn't exist.
Yeah,
so demo.txt does not
Yeah. Yep. So it's funny. You're not actually saying, you might expect that it would ask you to create the file if it doesn't exist. In this case, we're just saying, no, open it to write to. And if the file doesn't exist, we're going to see what happens.
Exactly. Yep. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to simply say file equals, and we'll say open. And then you're going to notice, first of all, that we get a nice bit of IntelliSense here. And so it's going to ask me right up front, okay, file. And all of these from here are positional. And, you know, a lot of these really don't matter on a day-to-day basis. You're not really going to care about those. And that's why I say, you know, if you don't care, don't specify. If you do care, specify. And so a lot of those I don't care. You'll notice that the default reading, the default mode is going to be R, again, meaning read.
Yep.
So if I just simply said open and then the file, I now know by looking that up that it's going to be read only. I still like to specify.
Yeah, because it's one of those ones where if I'm looking at a file, when someone's working with a file, I always wonder, are they reading from the file or writing to the file? Because that's very different problem solving and very different things I'm doing.
Exactly. Now, you know, while we're talking about, you know, different things that we're doing, I'm going to show you about like 12 ways that we could write this because it really is up to you how you want to put all of this together. So you'll notice, for example, that I could go just like that. So file name, access mode. But I could actually, one very cool thing that Python does is it supports named parameters. So I could actually say mode equals and then maybe W like that.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than declaring a variable, I could do like that.
Yep.
I could also have said mode equals access mode, which is probably a bit heavy-handed. It's probably a little
yeah,
bit
Yeah, given that we've
redundant.
Got it in a variable at this point. You know,
exactly.
It's fairly easy to read already.
But, yeah.
But it's nice to know you have that ability to be specific.
And, you know, one last thing that you can do, and this is something I love doing, is you could set a flag. Where do you have a flag? You could set a flag. And so what I could actually do is I could just simply say write equals. And typically, if it's a constant, you'll put it into all uppercase letters. So I could say write equals W, and then I could say mode equals write. So now my code winds up being a little bit more readable. So when I look at this line of code, I know exactly what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're opening up the specified file, mode equals write.
I like that. That's a nice, when I look at that code, even if I don't look at your variables up top, if I just see that one line, file equals open, right away I see what's going on. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so there's a lot of different ways that you could do that. You know, so you could go in and set another flag, you know, read equals R, and then that way I could go in and update this. And, you know, we could keep going down this this rabbit hole all day long.
But we need to find out is it going to? I want to see it run now. We still have that poor person out there going. But what happens when we say write mode and the file doesn't exist?
They're
waiting on bated breath.
Let's go ahead and hit start. It tells me to press the any key. I'm going to press the any key. I'm then going to there we go. Right click and open containing folder. And sure enough, it did in fact create that file.
Okay.
Yep.
So now, if you do it and the file already exists, well, actually, let's let you write something, because the next question was, if the file already exists and you write to it, will it overwrite what's already in the file or add to what's already in the file? So if you could, when you get to writing, if you could try that, that would rock.
Actually, well, let's start here.
Okay.
Take a look.
There's some text.
that's some text. Again, I'm creative.
Yes.
So let's go in. Let's just go ahead and save that. So just to kind of prove the point, it is in fact there. Now let's come back over to Visual Studio. Let's again hit start. Tells me to press the any key. And let me go back to my little folder. And you'll notice that when I open it back up, it's empty. So write is going to overwrite that file. If you wanted to write to the end of it, you could do append. And in fact, here, let's do that. So we'll go in, once again, this is some text. And again, just proving the point, it is there.
Okay.
Let's come back over here and let's say append equals A.
Right.
And then let's go in and update that, say append. Let's again hit start. Tells me to press the any key. And if I open up my folder again, open the file back up, this is some text, and it will allow me to write to the end
awesome.
Of it.
So that's where that access mode is so important.
Exactly.
You control if you're going to overwrite the file or whether you want to add to the existing file. So that all depends on the access mode that you choose when you open the file.
That's exactly it. Yep. Cool. All right. I think we answered all the questions.
I think so. Yes. I think we're good. No, I'll let you go ahead.
Perfect. All right. I love that interaction. You know?
It's good.
Yeah. Okay. So, see, we are doing this live. Let's talk now about actually writing something out, because just simply opening up a file isn't going to get us very far. We need to actually put something out to it. So let's talk about how to write out. So once again, you'll notice there's our little code. We go in, we do our open. Now, how do we write? And the answer is we simply use the write function, not the R-I-G-H.
Uh-huh. Well,
I guess that would be the write function.
Yeah, okay. I'm done. Yeah.
All right. In any event, so yeah, so we use the write function. So all you have to do is just simply say write and write. Now, there's a very big question that I'm sure is on everybody's mind, and if I pause long enough, somebody would ask it inside the Q&A, and that is this. You said write, you said write. Are those going to be on the same line, or are those going to be
on different lines? Because that's really important. When you're writing information to a file, you look at certain files. Sometimes you want everything to stay on the same line. Sometimes you want to create a new line. Yeah, how do I control? So Christopher, tell me, how do I control, or is it going to write to one line or multiple lines? How do I control that?
That's a great question. And the answer is that write does not put in a brand new line by itself. You have to tell it to put in a brand new line. And if you remember back to yesterday morning, or I guess earlier in the recording if you're watching this on demand, one of the keystrokes that we talked about, one of the shortcuts that we talked about, was backslash N for a new line. And that's exactly what you're going to need in order to get this onto the next line. So we've got kind of a little screenshot here. You'll notice, hi there, how are you? All on the same line. You'll notice that if we want a brand new line, think back to that print statement, what we're going to need is that backslash N. And so now, if I do a backslash N there, and I bring this back up, now you're going to notice that it's on a brand new line. Cool. Now, the last little thing is this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you're going to be talking about later on is error handling. So
what happens
if something goes wrong? Well, as we all know, things can wind up going wrong, and if a program crashes, what can wind up happening is it could wind up locking up the file and maybe not releasing that handle.
You know when you're working in Word?
Yeah.
And you're working in a Word document, and then you've sort of forgot you've got it open, and then you're like trying to email it to somebody or something, and sometimes you get that weird error message. Or actually, you know, my favorite is when I'm like using a USB stick or something, and it says, oh, I can't eject the USB stick because this file there's still in use.
Yep.
So
that's
So Windows and operating systems do generally sort of go, someone's in the middle of using that file, so you can't mess with it.
Yep.
That you can do that with your code. You can, when you do an open file and you start writing to things with your code, just like when you open up a document inside Word, the operating system is going to go, you're using that file. I'm not letting anyone else in there right now.
Yep.
And yeah, you're right. When your code crashes, sometimes you get in a situation where the operating system says, you were using that file. You never told me you were done because the code went kplooey. And so you're stuck with this code and this file. You try to reopen it, and it's going, no, the file's in use by someone else.
Or even, you know, kind of go one step further with this. I remember when I was in college, which is sort of dating myself a little bit, one of the popular posters was Everything I Needed to Know About Life I Learned in Kindergarten. Mm. And one of them was...
I actually read that book. It was awesome.
Yeah. See? One of the ones that was on there was something towards the effect of basically naps are awesome. And naps are awesome.
Yeah.
But one of the other very basic things that you learned in kindergarten, which applies to both real life and to your code, is clean up after yourself.
I like
so
that.
So if you open something, close it. And what you're going to notice if we come down here is there is a close method. Get yourself into that habit. And in fact, I know people who will frequently, when they're writing their code, that they'll actually just simply say open and then immediately write the close and then put the cursor back up between them and start writing out the rest of their code. And you know what? If that's what's going to help you remember to always call close, do it.
Yep.
Because it's one of those things, you know, if you're anything like me, and I know I am, I tend to get very focused on solving the particular problem that's in front of me. And so that's where all of my attention is going. And so I then frequently forget to do the one last little thing down at the very bottom. So I'm so focused on what it is that I'm trying to write out to the file that when I finish it, I'm like, okay, cool, I'm done. And then I forget to close the file, you know? So it's not a bad habit to get yourself into. All right, let's go in and take a look at how we could do this. So let me go into Visual Studio here, and there's the code. In fact, let's just go right in and let's say file and just say close, just like that. And now what we're going to do is we'll say file.write. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, my IntelliSense isn't be quite the way that I want it, but that's okay. This is the first line. And I'm just going to sort of skip to the end. Let's
sure,
just do
the
backslash end there. And then file.write. And this is the second line. And we won't do that. Okay, perfect. And let's just make sure that all of my code looks good. It does. I'm going to hit start. Tells me again to press the Any key. You know, one other good habit to get yourself into is if you're writing something that's going to be automating and it's not naturally going to display anything on the screen, it's a good habit to print something out just to simply say something like, you know, file written successfully.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Because otherwise people are just going to look at that and just get kind of get that awkward feeling of, well, did it actually work? Or they might rerun it. That I hate doing something and not getting a confirmation back
it's
that it
true.
Worked.
It's true. You're always sort of paranoid.
Yeah,
it didn't run properly.
Feeling uncomfortable. Yeah. So let's just go in and do that one more time. Now it tells me file written successfully. Cool. And then let's go ahead and open up our file again. And sure enough, we've got those two little lines.
Awesome. I just want to bring up a question that came up
yeah.
in the chat window.
Absolutely.
The question was, can you open a file for read and write at the same time? And the answer to the question, in fact, somebody actually already answered the question in the chat window, which is fabulous,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to highlight it here.
Yep.
Because not everybody's always going to see what's in the chat window. But yes, if you specify an access mode of R plus for read plus
okay.
or W plus for write plus, that either of those modes will actually allow you to open a file for reading and writing. So you can do it in a single command if you want to.
And, you know, kind of going back to what we were talking about a couple of minutes ago about, you know, putting that in there to make it a little bit clear, you know, W plus or R plus, when I look at it, that wouldn't necessarily mean a whole lot to,
mm-hmm.
to
You'd
me.
You'd expect it to be like RW or something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so you could, again, go in and declare some form of a constant for that to help make your code more self-documenting. You know, that one of the things that we talked about, again, all the way back at the beginning of the course was the concept of putting in comments. And comments are wonderful. And I don't in any way, shape, or form want to discourage you from writing comments. But one of the problems with comments is you're sometimes just describing the code when you could just modify your code a little bit and let the code describe itself. So in my case here, my code is describing itself. So rather than me having to say something like, you know, mode equals W plus, and then just going in and saying W plus means read write, instead what I could do is I could just simply leave it as read write. I could leave it as read write. And now my code is telling you what it's doing. So much cleaner than just putting in the comment. Okay. And I'm just going to go in and kind of clean things up a little bit. Perfect. All right. Now, let's go back to slides here. And one of the biggest things that you'll frequently need to write out for a text file is CSV.
Mm-hmm. Oh, comma separated variable files. We see those
yep.
a lot. In fact, we literally just had a question in the Q&A, one of those nice lead-up moments where somebody said, what if I wanted to create a comma-separated variable file?
Yep.
Because you see that a lot. In it's a very common file format.
Absolutely. Well, the answer is just kind of do it on your own.
Write a comma.
Exactly. Write in the comma. So you know what? Let's do this, because we've got a couple of minutes here. And so you'll notice that, just go in and put in the commas, and you'll notice that that is your challenge. Well, tell you what, I'm going to help you out a little bit here, that if you want to write out a CSV file, all that you need to do is just write it out. So let's just go in and say, for example, file write, Susan, and we'll say 29.
Yep.
And then right, 29.
That's right, 29.
Okay, and then we'll say Christopher, and then we'll go in and say, I'm going to, you know, say 31.
Okay.
We'll go with 31. In any event, so I've just simply put in both of those. And then if I go in and hit start, tells me again that it was written successfully out to the file. And if I go back to File Explorer, open this up. You're going to notice I forgot my...
You missed a comment.
I did.
Yeah.
Backslash N. There we go. So you were really cooking here. Now let's go back and open up my file again. There we go. And now there is everything.
Nice.
Now what I want to do
is I'm going to... Would you want the spaces?
Spaces, not spaces, that's sort of up to you. I put them in just for a little bit more readability.
Typically when I'm creating comma-separated var files, when I'm going to be using props, I don't usually have the spaces because then, I don't know, if I'm converting it to, when I read it back, sometimes I end up with a string that contains a space and I'm converting it to a number. Sometimes that causes weird wonky things. So
yeah.
I tend not to put spaces in, maybe a bit of personal preference, but I especially something like a number, I might not necessarily want spaces after the commas. Nice for readability here in the demo.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking afterwards.
Yeah. You know, kind of one of those little things. Okay, so what I'm doing here, kind of in the background, is let's do all files. Oh, that's why. Is it as demo.txt? You know what I'm going to do?
You want to open it in a different file extension?
Actually, no. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this. Is I'm going to update this to be CSV.
Sure.
That's really, what it should
usually when you're creating comma-separated var files, CSV. They have an extension of CSV. Absolutely.
Let's go ahead and rerun it, and then now let's come back over here to Excel. There's my demo CSV. Let's open that up, and you'll notice that sure enough, and I'll kind of zoom in and make it a little easier for everybody to see here. You're going to notice that sure enough, Excel uses that as a CSV, because at the end of it all, it's just a CSV.
Yep.
Now, to close all of this, I'm going to go one last step further. And that is, I'm going to go with a little bit of user input. So maybe, and I'll kind of keep it relatively simple here. I'm not going to worry too much about, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just sort of... comment that. There we go.
Okay.
So let's go in and say data equals input. Please enter file info.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go in and say file equals open and then file name.
So now the user decides the file is going to be created.
Exactly. Mode equals write. And then let's go in and say file.write. And then, I thought I hit escape. I guess not. Write the data and then file.close. Okay. So what you're going to notice is that I'm grabbing the data from the user.
Yep.
And then I'm going to write that out to the file. So let's go in and do that real quick. So we'll just go in, hit start. Please enter. I should have put a space, but that's okay. This is going to be in the file. Hit enter. Written successfully. And now let's go back to our text file, and that's going to be in the file.
Nice.
I know I kind of moved a little bit quickly through that, but I sort of did that on purpose because these are concepts that we've actually all already covered.
Yep.
And if we go back and take a look here, what you're going to notice, I didn't do anything fancy. I just simply used an input to get input in from the user. And then I just simply put that into a variable, and I wrote out a variable. So a lot of people were asking, especially like when you were doing your demo with list, could you, you know, have input in from the user? Could you have read that from a file, which I know you're going to be doing later? Could you have...
Could you take the values from a list and write them to a file?
Exactly, yeah. Could you do all of that? Could I, you know, sit down and put together a for loop and do it that way? The answer to all of those questions is 100% yes. That if you've got a value and it can be represented in some way, shape, or form as a string, you can write it out. And can you loop through things and write all of those out? Absolutely. So bringing that back actually then to our challenge is to create that CSV file below. You can do this in numerous ways. That
you could have the user, if you want to practice user input entering things, have them enter it. If you want to make it a list and then write the values from the list to there, absolutely, lots of options.
Yeah, whatever it is that you want to do, and that's really the key that we want to highlight, is that, you know, as we've been going through this, we've been focused on what we've been teaching. So when Susan was doing lists, she was doing lists. When I was originally doing files, I was doing files. Does that mean that I can't combine that with skills that I've already learned? absolutely not, that you can do loops and lists and inputs and files and all of those together.
Can I get you, before you sneak off on the lunch break, there was one question that came in the Q&A window that was a really good question. If you could go back to your code for just a second. Somebody noticed the fact that for your variables write and append, you put them in all uppercase.
Yes.
Do you want to explain that?
Sure. The reason that I put them into all uppercase is 100% convention. Convention is when you have a constant to put it into all uppercase letters. And really the whole concept of a constant is sort of like it means in English, constant never changes. And that's what we're looking for. So some people would call that a flag. I'm going to call it a constant. But typically those are going to be in all uppercase letters just to sort of differentiate them from a typical variable where the word variable meaning that I'm going to expect it to change. So that's why I put it in all uppercase letters. But that's a great question.
Yep.
And again, that kind of goes back to that whole formatting thing.
And it's not a rule. It's not something you have to do. It's, again, falling back to good programming practices.
Yep.
It's one of those conventions that a lot of programmers will use as a way of distinguishing between, so at a quick glance, I instantly know, oh, don't change the value of that. That's a constant.
Exactly. That's it. Cool. Well, now that we've seen how to write from files, let's eat.
Yes. Let's take a break for a meal, and then you guys can work on the challenge if you want.
Exactly.
And see if you can create your first file using code.
Yep.
And then we'll come back and we'll learn how to read from files.
Exactly. Yeah. So we are going to show you the other side. So we will show you how to read. We're going to be back in about an hour. So we will see you guys then.
See you later.